Good to be here today, guys. House of the Lord. I've been praying a lot about what to say today since Pastor Dan asked me to preach. And I wanted to start. Oh, but I'm Andrew, for everyone who doesn't know. I'm an assistant pastor here at the church. And Pastor Dan's away today. But I've been thinking a lot about what, you know, my calling and what God has led me to be as a pastor. And so I've been reading a lot of scripture about that. And so I wanted to share a little bit about our call and our Christian journey today. But as I start off, I wanted to start with a very familiar passage, just so you know I know the basics, okay? So, God loves you. Do you know that? Do you know that He loves you extravagantly and that He cares deeply for you right now, today? John 3:16 through 17 says, "For God so loved the world," to all you and out there too, "that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through Him." And so, as we proclaim this as Christians, we are saved. 2,000 years ago, Jesus was on this earth, and His mission was to save the world, sent by His Father, down here. Sounds like a great superhero movie, right? And He did save the world through His sacrifice on the cross for us, tearing apart the barriers between heaven and earth, allowing grace to happen, and allowing us to have a loving relationship with God through this action. And so God loves you. He wants a relationship with you. But as I've been reading about calls and Christian journey, I say, what now? I'm a Christian. What do I do now? So as I've been studying, this good news is not just for a pastor to share or for me to share. It's for all those who are saved to share to the world. Christians need to know how and what to do with this saving knowledge of God, of Jesus. So I'm going to read a rather long passage from Timothy today. I'm sorry, I like long passages. It's going to be from Timothy chapter 4. It is page 1174 of your pew Bible. 1174 of your pew Bible if you need that. Timothy is a young pastor. Wonder why I was reading it, right? And Paul is writing letters to him to help him out in his ministry. There's certain things going on that Timothy needs to address with his other things going on with his parishioners, so he's going to start off with some of that. But then Paul goes into some basic principles of how to walk and follow through with God. And so I'm going to read 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. Follow along behind with me or with your Bibles. "But the Spirit explicitly says that in later times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons by the means of hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience with a branding iron, men who forbid marriage and advocate and abstain from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. For it is sanctified by means of the word of God and prayer. In pointing out to these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of faith and the sound doctrine of which you have been following. But have nothing to do with worldly fables fit for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit But godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds the promise in the present life and also for the life to come. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance. For this we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of believers. Prescribe and teach these things. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself as an example to those who believe. Until I come again, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, for which was bestowed on you through prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. Take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them, so that your progress will be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Preserve in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation for both yourself and for those who hear you. And so in this passage, you see some references to Timothy's youthfulness as a pastor. You see some references to his spiritual gifts. The issues of the time are seen in verses 1 through 5. He talks about in later times and some of the other things that are going on. You know, it says, by doctrines of demons. We don't know anything about that, right? Because we haven't heard anything about spiritual warfare the last 4 weeks, right? So, no. But I'm not going to go into depth about spiritual warfare, which I really could with this passage, but because Pastor Dan just finished a series about the devil and how he distracts us falsely and directs us falsely. So if you feel like you need help with that sort of thing, they're available on our website, and you could always go back and listen to them. You could listen to this sermon on our website as well. We have podcasts and things like that. But one thing I'm going to say about that part of the Scripture is that the devil is real, and he distracts, and he wants to steal and destroy your faith, and that there is a spiritual battle going out there. In the one commentary I read, it even said that the devil sometimes uses things that look good and look true, but they're not based on the truth. And so we as Christians need to be very discerning on what we believe and what we think is true. We need to know the truth from the fiction, and we need to be prepared. As he moves on, he talks about the food stuff and things like that. I'm going to move on to verse 6. This starts to talk about these main points that Paul highlights in the development of Timothy as a minister. I'm going to throw them all up there real quick so you can write them down. I think there's sermon notes and stuff on the bulletin, but know and teach the truth. Be the example. The gospel needs to be heard. And be dedicated to your call. All of these points are important in being a Christian and being a pastor. But I think that this letter is more than just to Timothy and more to just to people like me who want to become pastors and stuff like that. It's to all of us. We are, as Christians, we are all ministers of the gospel of Christ. And we need to renew these things in ourselves, because God wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to have a transforming relationship with you. He wants to continue to help you grow. As we look at point 4, be dedicated to your call. What is your call? Do you know yourself in God? Do you know what God has called you to do? Were you the same Christian that you were 1 year ago, or 5 years ago, or more? We need to continually renew and transform ourselves, and Christ helps us to do that. Timothy's gifts were preaching and teaching and exhortation, but those necessarily aren't everyone's gifts. I don't even know if they're mine yet, and I'm up here talking. It's fun. Part of the relationship with God is knowing who He wants, how He wants to use us. It's both transforming ourselves and transforming other lives around us by the spread of the gospel. A few weeks ago, maybe a month ago now, Pastor Dan handed out what he called a discipleship matrix. It's a bunch of list of different spiritual disciplines and things like that. And I thought it was an interesting tool. It helps us to check in with ourselves and where we are on this walk and journey with God. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of grace and a lot of love to be okay where you're at with God right now. But also, we need to look towards this relationship to help transform us. I think that gifts and our call are important to this matrix. That if we know ourselves and know our gifts, they help us to spiritually grow in devotions, in faith, in fellowship, and all these things. And a call doesn't have to be a big thing. You don't have to come up here and talk in front of a whole bunch of people to have a call. You don't have to be up there playing music or things like that. It could be little things. It could be empathy or caring. Jody shared helps of helping the community by giving resources or a coat. I don't think anyone wants a coat today. It's really hot, so you know. But, you know, we can... Preaching and teaching and serving other helps in the community or around the church. The Holy Spirit helps us to understand what we need, what the present needs are, and helps guide us to fill them in the body of Christ. So let's look at Paul's wisdom here to Timothy, starting back at point one. Know and teach the truth. So, as I said, we are all Christian ministers, so we need to know what we're teaching. We need to know the Word of God in our hearts and have it help us guide our walk. This book here, it's a pretty good guide. It's a good book. In many ways, the Word of God can speak to you in your situation and help you through various troubles that you may have or people around you may have. I am a firm believer that you do not need to be a theological scholar to know the truth of the Bible or to be able to spread it. But we need to share and teach others what we do know that is truth. And people who can debate the theological perspectives of various things, they're welcome to do that as well and pursue that. And there's definitely a place for that in the church, and we need that. But where we are today, sometimes we share with a story. Or sometimes we share how God did this, or how God showed up here, or how God did this other thing. We know and teach the truth through our experience and through Scripture. But still as important. Point two, Paul says, be the example. It's one thing to know the truth. It's a very different thing to live it. Godliness, or what I would call holiness, is what Paul talks about to Timothy in this second point. We live the truth of the gospel through our actions and through our lives. We can't be one person in one setting and put another face on in another setting. And put another face on another setting, the truth of who you are in Christ should shine through all of that. Where I am at home and work, raising my children, people will see the Word of God in your heart. Paul says, in speech, conduct, love, faith and purity, show yourself as an example of those who believe. That's real hard. It's not easy to do that, but it's something that as Christian ministers we need to work on, that we need to build in ourselves, that we are consistent with the truth. And I'm not saying being boastful or showy about, look how humble I am, woohoo! It's not about that. It's about the still, quiet spirit of being a Christian. And the example that we can live in our lives is one of the strongest tools we have to share with others what Christ has done for us. We can bring them to church, or it might save their life or ultimately bring them to the saving grace of God by seeing who you are. They will know we are Christians by our love. My third point is that the gospel needs to be heard. I started today with John 3:16, hopefully familiar to most people, to help illustrate our relationship with God. He needs to be central, and this love needs to be central in our transformation. If it's not, over the years we start to backslide, we start to forget that God loves us. He should be the driving force, our relationship should be the driving force of this journey. We need to be able to share our stories or preach from the Word like I am today and show through faithful actions that the gospel has made a difference in your life and can make a difference in someone else's life. Verse 13 says to read Scripture publicly, so that means that we need the gospel message out there. In the commentary, I saw a bunch of things about different media things of how to share the gospel and things like that, but Paul says public reading of Scripture. Let's read the Bible. Let's read it out here. And we could debate various media, you know, Facebook and blogs podcasts and paper, newspaper, flyers, everywhere. But the gospel message still needs to remain true no matter the method that we're using to share it. But we need to share Scripture publicly. We share it with our friends in our conversations. But I don't know if people know me very well. I'm kind of an introvert as well. It seems weird since I'm in front of you every single week, but I am. So me having a personal conversation one-on-one is really good, but me being up here sharing with a whole bunch of people is a little daunting. But we have to know our spiritual gifts and know who we are in Christ to be able to share the gospel. I may be great at one-on-one talking and sitting down with someone and sharing, this is what Jesus has done for my life. Someone else may not. They may have to do it through messaging or posting on Facebook or whatever it is. I tried once. I made a resolution that I would once a week post an inspirational quote on Facebook and or scripture verse or whatever. It did not last long. It lasted like 2 weeks. It's not my gift. It's okay. But we need to know who we are, how to share those things. So the point is to share the gospel. Other members of our church share the gospel every year and even more than that by works. Fixing someone's steps or fence or cutting down bushes and painting and all sorts of fun things. That's sharing God's love. It's showing who we are in Christ. And these are important as well. They help build up our faith and show our love. And I think a strong church has all of these things in the body working together. I know some people in here, and I was great to see Paul out there today, have the gift of teaching a Sunday school or teaching a small group. It's fantastic. People who can do that or step up in those ways, share your gifts. So I'm back to point four again, just so you know. Oh, good, I'm almost done. All right, because look, it's almost noon. It means I have to be done, right? All right, point number four, be dedicated to your call. So I'll ask you again, hard questions that maybe you don't think about. What is your gift? Is your gift hospitality or the nice little comments of encouragement that you give people like myself or people who are coming to our church? Is your gift the shaking of hands and greeting people? Is it leading a study? Is it hospitality and opening your home to have people come over for dinner once in a while? What is your gift? What is your call? And how are you using that gift and talent for God now? I know many people in this church that do this and use their gifts and talents for God. And so do that and continue to do that. But this is for other people who feel like, well, I don't kind of know. And wow, those are really hard questions, Andrew. And we have to recognize that we are all ministers of the gospel. And if you feel like you need to plug in more, that you don't know your gift, that you don't know your call and how to help this transformational journey come about, is through discipleship with our pastoral staff. Nyla, Pastor Nyla, has wonderful things that she could plug you into. Pastor Dan, myself, Becky, talk to us. Help us explore that with you. It is important because not only does it help change you and grow you on your faith journey, but it helps change the world for the gospel. And it's important in another way as well. As I've been taking church leadership classes and strategizing classes and all these different things throughout the past few years, there's been this book people keep bringing up, and they call it The Rise of the Nuns, N-O-N-E-S. Some people probably have heard about it. I've talked about it in my Sunday school a couple of times. N-O-N-E-S is people who have no religious affiliation. From 2007 to 2012, which is the study that the book had done, said that the growth of people with no religious affiliation, I think it was in America, grew by 15%. It's the largest growth that had ever happened in history. And that's 2012. We're talking about another 5 years now. And you live in the community. You see people out there having no idea and no clue what God is, or anything that I'm talking about today. So the Christian life, the Christian ministry is changing. It can't be that, oh, my grandma used to go to church, my aunt used to go to church, and so I'll check out a church because you mentioned Jesus and I'll figure out more about it. They have never been in a church, have no family member that know anything about church. And it's a completely foreign concept. And I think this is going to rise, and I'm scared where my 2-year-old son will be in 10 years and in 20 years, where Hillside Wesleyan Church may be in 20 years. But fear shouldn't drive us. Love should drive us. The importance of these 4 points, the importance of you all being Christian ministers, is that you are that connection to that one person who doesn't know a Christian or have someone Christian in their family. They will know we are Christians by our love. They will know who we are by us sharing the gospel with them, by us interacting with them in the community. It's one thing to say, okay, I'm going to be a pastor and bring everyone to me and have me share that with them. But in reality, they're not walking into this church because they want to see the transformation in you. And I know that's a big standard I have to put out there, but it's where church is going, and we need to make sure that we are good ministers of the gospel of Christ, that we are thoughtful about teaching ourselves and ministering and showing actions to fulfill our call and our mission of spreading the gospel of Christ. People will know, these nuns, this rise of unaffiliated people will know the Christian God because of you and your faith. They want to see the power of God in your life as an example of Christ. They want to see the power of the gospel in your life. So I ask you to show them. One of the podcasts I listened to recently said, don't just invite people to church, which is really good, but bring them to church. Change the word from invite to bring. We should be bringing people in. Feed them spiritually. There's this big movement out there, or at least there was, mind, body, and spirit. Well, is their spirit being fed? Come and get your spirit fed. You have a weird guy with a tie up here reading the Bible. It'll be great. So, if that is your call, if that's your gift, do so. If your gift is hospitality, do it. If your gift is serving, leading a small group, helping those in need, fulfill your calling through Christ, and He will help you. Those who can be prayer warriors and pray, do that. There was a slogan a few years ago, I think it might have been used for our first community day or second community day, that said, "Be the church." We had all these t-shirts on it and everything. Be the church, and that's what we have to do. Not just in our actions and community day and sharing and those sort of things, but we need to be the representation of Christ in this community. So I'm encouraging, I hope, and challenging you on these 4 points as a minister of Christ Jesus. Stay active, stay plugged in, and share the gospel. If you bow your heads in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much, Lord, for the impact you have in our lives, for helping us and for saving us, Lord. I ask that you continue to help us grow and challenge us. Help the Holy Spirit inside us, Lord. Continue to fill us with your power and your direction. Lord, we walk this journey alone sometimes, and I feel like sometimes we need to plug in more to a church, plug into a small group, plug into these wonderful disciples all around us. Help us, Lord, to be a Christian community that is faithful to you. In your name we pray, amen.